good, and I want to see that continue. Kind of reminds me of Beijing. You know, we were just there about 4 weeks ago, and Beijing is like a constant construction zone. I mean, we went back, we wanted to go to this restaurant, this really cool restaurant, and we were there, and it was like, the street signs are right, like they cross right here, and the restaurant was right there. Now there's a skyscraper. You know, 1 year later, you know, they just build incredibly quickly. And so that reminds me of this whole idea of Revelation chapter 21, where we see New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ coming out of heaven. And our songs this morning were so cool. You know, he's more than enough in this whole process. Every one of us are being built. And this morning as we sit here, every one of us have a need. We have a hunger. We have some area of our lives that we want fulfilled. Is that right? It's true, isn't it? There's something that we want out of life. And so in Scripture, as we flip the pages, it's saying the same thing over and over, like the songs this morning. He is everything that we have need of, and mostly that love. You know, it's so cool how God supplies all that we have need of. And he wants to build those areas of our lives. And at the end of the book, you flip the page from, you know, chapter 20 to chapter 21, and there is this incredibly beautiful picture of God saying, I am going to fulfill you. And this New Jerusalem, although it's a city, it's kind of a picture of you and I being completely built. Now, yeah, the corner, cross streets, you know, in Beijing, we miss that restaurant. It's not there. But now there's a huge apartment building there, a structure for many to live inside of. And it's kind of cool because that's what God does in our lives. He'll take some little old favorite place and he'll rebuild that, okay, into a place where he can dwell, where he can dwell. So let's take a look at this portion of Scripture, and I'm going to start way back in chapter 19 where it says, the bride, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. She made herself ready. This is a theme today. We heard about grace today in the songs. More than enough. And grace is God's divine enablement. Comes out of heaven, comes into us, transforms us. Kind of like the scene where in that movie Beauty and the Beast, where the guy, the beast, is on the ground and he transforms. Do you remember that when all the twinkly, sparkly lights come down and he transforms and it kind of whirls around, you know, and then he emerges as this great big old handsome guy, kind of like me, you know what I'm saying? Okay? That's a picture of grace. It transforms us, okay? And so the bride makes herself ready. How many of you went to prom this year? One person, two people, okay. I mean, do you guys go to proms or not? It doesn't happen? Oh, it's in the future. Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks. So you answered correctly. Nobody raised it. How many of you are going to go to the prom? Raise your hand. Okay. He keeps raising his hand. That's interesting. All right, well, just looking at you this morning, I can see that some of you made yourself ready for church, okay? Some of you, maybe not so much. I'm sorry, I like my own jokes. All right, so. But you know, when you're going to go someplace special, you really take care, you know, to put it all together, okay? And it's like, you make yourself ready, all right? Now, how many of you have ever been, like, on a date? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Brady's the only one. He's married. So don't go on a date if you don't want to get married, because that's what it leads to, okay? No, seriously, how many of you have ever been, like, on a date? Okay. Oh, three of you. Now we're getting more hands. How many of you want to be on a date? Raise your hand. Someday. Brady's still raising his hand. You guys are married, right? So you still date after you're married? Whoa, that's hot. Okay, good. I'm just saying. All right. So when you go on a date, are you going to prepare for that date? Are you going to fix yourself up? Or are you going to at least brush your teeth? Hello. Okay. Do you think you will? Now, how old are you?
12.
12, okay. Yeah. So maybe that's why you haven't been on a date yet. Do you think someday you're going to go on a date? She's just blinking at me like this. Okay. Maybe someday. What do you think? She can't answer me. This is great. Okay. All right. How about you? Okay. Do you think someday you're going to go on a date? Have you ever been on a date? Oh, my goodness. You guys are so shocked. You're killing me. I can't believe this. He just went like this, like he zipped his mouth shut. Okay. Well, let me tell you a little secret. Okay? Your parents probably dated. All right? So, yeah. So, anyhow, back to reality. You will, I guarantee you, as you are interested in somebody of the opposite gender, which I think all of us are, I hope, you know, that you will plan to go on a date or courtship or whatever you call it, okay? And you will get yourself ready. You will prepare yourself, especially for that moment. Now, if you go to prom, I don't know if you do that or not, but, you know, like the guy gets himself ready. At our school, they actually give you the whole day off, which I don't get. They give you the whole day off so that you can get ready for the prom. Like, why does it take all day? The guy's going, I don't know, I'm just going to brush my teeth and put my clothes on, do whatever my mom says. You know? This one mom, she cracks me up. She actually borrowed a friend's car. It was a convertible to make it special. She made sure the guy found out what color the girl was wearing, got a corsage. And the girl lived on a dirt road, so the mother followed him there behind. She was in her SUV. Got to the dirt road, went halfway down the street, got out of the car. They dusted the car off so that everything was ready for that magic moment when Cinderella came out of the house and saw Prince Charming in a chariot. I mean, carriage. Sorry, I took some sinus medicine today. So a little bit chariot. What was the other one? Carriage, okay. So she came out, and it was a picture-perfect moment, you know. Everything was, she walked toward the carriage. And mom is hiding behind the bushes, taking pictures of the whole thing. It's just like, you get ready for that special moment, for that special moment. And those pictures are the pictures that we see. How many of you saw any of the, it's not Kate Leopold, who is it?
Wedding.
The royal wedding, that's right, William and Kate. Okay, William, did you see any of the preparations? William, thank you. Anybody else? Nobody. You're not interested in English people getting married. Okay, very good. Anyhow, there were a lot of preparations went into this thing, I'm telling you. I mean, it was like insane. I'm watching this thing, like, these people are like over the top. Everybody loves a wedding. Everybody loves a wedding. A friend of mine was in Ireland, and there was a procession. I don't know why. Anyhow, there was a procession, and everybody's joining in. There's music, you know, and they were going into town. And it was for some, group, a boys' club or something. And somebody opened a window, and she stuck her head out, and she said, "What is the occasion?" And somebody answered back to the window and said, "It's a wedding." And the lady in the window said, "Oh, can you say that? Can you go, oh?" Let's do it. "Oh, yeah, it's a wedding. Okay. And my friend knew it wasn't a wedding. She said to the person next to her, "Why did you say it was a wedding?" She goes, "Oh, everybody loves a wedding." It wasn't even a wedding, but everybody loves a wedding, especially the bride. Okay? There's a lot that goes on to get ready for the wedding. So the bride of Christ has made herself ready. All right? And I was thinking about, you know, like, I make my lawnmower ready to cut the grass. I check the oil. I get my file out. Okay, I get my oil can. I get a funnel. I change the oil, change the filter, all that kind of stuff. If I don't have it done, I do it myself. But I get it ready. I have all my tools. What tools does a bride use to get ready? How do we make ourselves ready for the Lord? Okay? Now, a girl will have like a whole pile of, you know, makeup stuff, right? Brushes and, I don't know, I saw one lady the other day in the car, cracked me up. She was putting that liner stuff, you know how they line their lips now? You know? It's like really, really weird. It's like, whoa. I get the eye thing because there's already a line there, but there's like no line around your lips. Anyhow, she got this like thing out. She's like drawing these dark lines on her lips. I was like, this is funny. Anyhow, people want to get ready, okay? And so the Lord is saying, my grace is enough, and he is more than enough. He's like everything. Like we shared earlier, is there anything else that competes for our love? You don't go into a marriage ceremony thinking, gee, I really liked that other girl better than this one that's standing next to me. You don't do that, okay? And so God's competing for our hearts. So let's take a look now at at Revelation 21. Because there are many levels of relationships. You can be a baby in Christ, you could be a child, you could be a servant, you could be a slave, you could be a friend, you could be a son, you could be a spouse. You could be right now a fiancé of Jesus Christ, if he's the one you're infatuated with, okay? Revelation 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That's amazing! Because in Scripture, the big bodies of water are burial places. Baptism in the Jordan, or any big body of water, is a burial place. And he goes, there's no more burial places. No more sea. Big bodies of water are always scary to me anyhow. You know, you never know what's under the surface. You know what I'm saying? Plus, when I was a little kid, we'd go for family rides and we'd go downtown Detroit. We'd drive along the Detroit River. We'd get downtown by the river. We'd get out of the car and walk by the river. We'd stand there and we'd look at it. And I don't know why, but every time my mother would say, this is a good place to dump a dead body. So it just always freaked me out. It's like, how many dead bodies are in there? You know, anyhow, maybe it's just being Italian. I don't know, but she always said that. So in the New Jerusalem, there is no big sea. There's no more burial place, okay, like the ocean. Baptism is where the old man is buried, comes out brand new. Don't need that anymore. We got New Jerusalem going on. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And when I read that, I stopped right there. Because I don't know about you, but I am tired of Christianity being filled with great promises that I'm not walking in today. Because when I read Scripture, it says, today is the day of salvation. And although we can look forward to that day of New Jerusalem coming down, and hopefully we're a part of that group, we can live New Jerusalem today. Because she comes down from heaven. What comes down from heaven? What came down from heaven in the wilderness? What was that? Little flaky stuff? They picked it up and they ate it? Yeah, what'd you say? Manna. Thank God I could read lips. Okay, manna. It just came down from heaven. And what did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, am that bread of life that comes down from heaven. And that's my prayer today, that we'll collect that manna every day. Get the life today. New Jerusalem's coming down from heaven someday, but I'll tell you what, the bread of life is coming down from heaven today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And I got a feeling that the people who make up that New Jerusalem that come down from heaven are the same people that have been accustomed to the bread of life coming down every day. Don't expect to be that then if you're not that now. Because that's just how it works out. There are natural consequences for how we live every day. And if we live every day with our hearts set on getting that Word of God, that bread of life, then we will be that in that day that comes back down. Okay? Just like the water, the rain that comes down, evaporates, goes back up, and it comes down again. And so as we gather every day, you know, we can be assured that we will be part of that bride company. And I heard a loud voice, verse 3 from heaven, saying, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. From cover to cover, that's the heart cry of God. That he is your God. Okay? He is your God. Being God's dwelling must become our daily experience. Daily experiences add up so that it becomes our final placement. He said, as you've done it to the least of these, in daily life, you've done it unto me. What we plant every day is what we reap in the end. If you want Revelation 21 to be part of that, then there's a daily thing that has to go on. That the kingdom of God comes in a daily kind of experience, okay? My prayer class, I teach a prayer class, and just before the prayer class, there's all kinds of stuff going on, okay? Right now I'm involved, have been involved, in shooting video, trying to build a big, really cool end-time video for the last part of the year, you know, where we encapsulate, you know, all the fun stuff that goes on at OCS. So I need this little shoot, okay? And then I'm working with the drama team, okay, building the set, okay? So that's going on. Then there's been some big changes at OCS. And then, you know, somebody left, so now I had to fill in, so I had to go out to Spring Arbor University and speak out there. So all this stuff is going on. And my head is, like, overloaded, okay? And then I've got a prayer class where we need the presence of God in our room. And so I have to think about the Lord's Prayer. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So at that very moment, I have to focus everything else out and make that my moment where I can be a vessel for God. So everything has to get turned off. And it's right now, it's that presence of the Lord that makes a difference. And you know, in that Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, in the original language, there's a sense of urgency there. It's not like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Eventually, it'll happen. I think I read Revelation 21 someplace, where it's going to like just kind of flop out of heaven. Cool, I'm okay with that. You know, it's not that kind of attitude. It's like, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done now, immediately. There's an urgency in that original prayer. Love of the Lord, in many ways, is impatient and impetuous. And it demands gratification now. Is that how you feel? Or is it just kind of okay, like whenever it happens, you know, okay, sweet, that's fine for other people. I'm just not quite as like excited about Jesus right now. That's not what Scripture's saying, okay? There's that sense of urgency. To be that dwelling place in everyday life. John chapter 17, verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. This new Jerusalem's perfect. The bride is perfect. She is totally ready. Talking about you. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and that thou love them as thou hast loved me. John 14, 21 to 23. He that hath my commandments, he's talking about us. If you have the commandments of the Lord, not just the ones you read out of Scripture, no, but the ones that he is speaking to your heart about what you should be doing every moment of the day. If we're the children of God, we're led by his Spirit. So we do what he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it, with the right attitude. Wow, that's pretty demanding. All right? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, in other words, you cherish them and you do them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. The one thing that you want, I'm just going to tell you, straight up, more than anything, is to be loved and appreciated. And God says, I will love you, and I will manifest myself to you. So then Judas pipes up, this is when Jesus is talking to the group, and said unto him, this is not Iscariot, it's another Judas, Lord, how is it that you will make yourself known unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, the Father and the Son, will come and live inside of that person. King Solomon didn't quite have it. He was churched, he was well taught, his dad, you know, gave him all the stuff he needed to know. But somehow, and he knew it in his head, but it didn't get into his heart, so it didn't get worked out in his daily life. And at the end of his life, he said, this is the whole thing, guys, just be obedient. Just obey. What? How does he say it? He says this, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, be afraid, and keep his commandments. You know, Jesus didn't quite say that. And I hope this makes sense to you. Because you guys are young people, you have the rules of your parents, you have the rules of school, you have the traffic laws, you have all these rules. Okay? And if you're in King Solomon mode, this is it. Just be afraid and be obedient. But if you're kind of like in a Jesus mode, this is what he said. A new command I give unto you, love one another. Love as I have loved. In other words, all of your obedience will come out of a love relationship. And like was said at the beginning today, it's so cool the way God lines us up. Is there any other love going on in your life? Is there something that you want to be married to? You know? Like I had this one kid, he was like just crazy about paintball. I mean, his whole brain was like, paintball. I mean, I think he loved his paintball gun maybe more than he loved spending time with Jesus. You know? Because he wanted to go paintball shooting people on a team, actually, when he was, you know, on Sundays. It's like, yeah, church, I've been there, done that. You know? I want to go shoot people with paintballs, because I'm really good, and they want to make me part of a professional team, and maybe I could grow up and be a professional paintball killer person, you know? Because he loved it. Now, if I asked him, and he had a really sweet heart, he really loved the Lord, too. Oh, yeah, paintball, the Lord, you know, something like that, okay? He really loved the Lord, but he really loved paintball. And that's a problem, because here Jesus says, like to move into that house, yeah, but when he opens the door, there's paintball guns everywhere because he keeps buying a better one. So Jesus has to step over all these paintball, you know, guns and bullet things all over the place. Hope he doesn't get shot in the meantime, you know, and find some place to live in this guy's heart. There's a soul full of paintball, okay? And I use that as an extreme, and it kind of sounds a little nasty, like the kid's not really too sweet because he loves paintball more than Jesus. But, you know, how are we sincerely and transparently before the Lord? I have something in my pocket here. Oolong tea. Okay? This is really, you're all smiling. I could have brought English breakfast tea. Anyhow, oolong tea, and this is very good for, who knows what this is good for? Okay, the white lady, what? This is good for your metabolism, okay? And it's wonderful. Now, this is tea. Yep, it's tea. Is it tea? Well, not yet, okay? But I have the power. Want to see my power? I use my superpowers. Watch this. The hand. Nothing up the sleeve. We are on our way to a cup of tea. Yes, there's the bag. Oh, it's becoming more real every moment, isn't it? Hang on, it gets better. Yeah, if I had a cup of water, only if I had a cup of water, I could dip this in and I would have tea. But guess what? As long as it's in the little packet, it's not tea. It's just dried up, crumpled, probably not very good tea bags, tea leaves that are all like the dust. The real tea comes as leaves that you can buy in funny little shops. Okay? That is like really tea. All right? Now, the reason I did that is to tell you that I have within my power the ability, as awesome as it is, to make real tea. And what I'm saying to you is that you have within your power to become the bride of Christ. This is pretty exciting stuff that God puts before us. Anyhow, in this New Jerusalem, it's really awesome because all things are becoming new. And I'm so challenged by this verse. All things becoming new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "And he died for all. Jesus died for us." And he goes through this whole thing, you know, of saying he died for us, we should be living for him. All right? We should forsake our worldly view of things. And though we once knew him in the flesh, we don't any longer. Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." And what that means is that the old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. What God is saying is that even though I see you today just as you are, I also see you as complete in Christ. All right? So for this reason, I believe, according to Scripture, that as all things are becoming new and nothing is staying the same, that we need eyes to see past what everything looks like now and to see it as complete, to see New Jerusalem coming out of heaven. So when I look at you, you know, and you look at me, I look old, you look young. Is that right? Okay? But from God's point of view, that's totally irrelevant. I don't see senioritis in the Bible. Do you? It's not there. It's not there. So why? I'm not going to believe in senioritis. Therefore, I don't. Somebody says, "Oh man, dude, I got senioritis really bad." You know, sounds like you need to take a sinus pill. You know, I say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't believe in senioritis. It's not biblical." As a matter of fact, when I read the Bible, it says when you're running the race and you get to the end, you run harder so you can win the prize. Okay? All things are becoming new. And the thing that needs to be new is our eyes. So that, I have kids from France. They're so cool. I got these sweet kids from Korea and China right now. They're so cool exchange students. And it's funny because in some of those countries, teachers can't be friends. They just aren't. It's not part of the culture. I don't believe in that because there is no generation gap. I mean, just because I'm 61 and you're 16, why should that hinder us from, like, hanging out? And you laugh. You laugh. You mock the truth. But honestly, we're just people. We're just people. Am I going to be 61 and you're 16 in heaven? I don't think so. We're all going to be like ancient and regenerated and brand new. Yeah, hope you recognize all this. Really, think biblically. All things are becoming new and you've got the power. You've got the power right now, and that's what I want to look at. Okay, he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." He said, "Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true." God is making all things new. And he said, "It is done. I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." And so today, if you want to be part of this New Jerusalem, God is saying, "I can do that in your life. I will do that." If you are thirsty, if you don't have another competing love, I want you to know, I want to end on this note, that you have the power. You will determine your eternal destiny. You will determine whether you are a part of this group. Now, I got to say that God has equipped me with tools. He gives me what I need. He gives me paint. He gives me brushes so that I can create. And I have to say that He has done this in your lives. He has given you exactly what you need. It's called grace. Divine enablement. Remember Beauty and the Beast, you know, when he swirled around like that. Poof, he turned into something else. God has given you that power. The word grace in Scripture, there's manifold grace, many colors of grace. He may have given you this color. Oh, you're going to become beautiful in that color. Ooh, you get the green. Oh, this is so good. Okay, look at you. You got a great big old tube of Mars Black. Woo! Black punctuates everything. Makes all the other colors pop. Girl, you got it going on. Oh, you got an ugly color. Too bad. And then you get this beautiful, oh, you are going to be Acra Blue Violet. Oh, baby, look at that. She's even wearing that color today. Now, God gives you all of that, okay? And he not only does that, and you've got to believe this, he gives you a palette where you can squeeze your color on that palette. And guess what? I got some of your color, some of your color, some of your color, some of yours, some of yours. Everybody's color. And then he gives you brushes. He gives you this little funky, funny brush to do some funny, beautiful things. And then you get to paint. Just like the tea bag. If I don't dip this baby in water, I can't drink this. I could rip this bag open and shove it in my mouth right now. It's not going to work. There's something I have to do. There's something you have to do, okay? To become what God has said you can be. And he would not put this in Scripture. And I want you to know that not everybody is going to be part of the bride of Christ. Oh yeah, you'll be saved and all that kind of stuff. But will you go on to that higher level? Now here's one kind of painting. Okay? And one time of my life, this is how I painted. And it was good for that time. Nice painting. All right? People buy these paintings. That's nice. But you know what happens in life? We don't stay the same. We begin to be more color. I can never tell which way is right side. Oh, here we go. Yeah, boats. Okay? So we become a new painting because every day the manna comes down. And as you collect that, you become the colorful bride of Christ because you have your color of grace and you use it. Because you love him, you use it to become more and more like him. Listen, there's a pile of scriptures. These are some of my most favorite and exciting scriptures in the whole of God's word. Because God says, you have the power. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, and you will save yourself. That's what the Bible says. It says, you work out your own salvation. You got your grace, you got your brush, you're on the canvas, work it out. You can do this. It's what he says. In Isaiah 52, he says, awake, awake, put on your strength. You need to take steps to get outside and catch that manna. Catch that living word of God. And make it your own and eat it. He says, stir up the gift that is in you. Stir it up. You're gifted. Use it for the kingdom of God so you can be part of that new Jerusalem. Zechariah 2:7, he says, deliver yourself. Deliver yourself. Shake yourself, he says. In other words, shake yourself. Rise, he says, sit up, O Jerusalem. And then he says, loose thyself from the bands of paintball, so to speak. Loose yourself from the bands. I just see like bungee cords wrapped all around somebody with all the stuff they love all just stuck to them. He says, loose yourself from those things so that you can wholly serve the Lord. Now get this, this is really interesting. In Acts chapter 16, verse 28, this is why I say, you have the power today. And I don't want to just say, you have the power to be wonderful in God. That's true. But you also have the power to wreck your life. I'm just being straight up honest with you. Because when you are, for example, Acts chapter 16, Paul cried out with a loud voice, do thyself no harm. There was a great earthquake and Paul was being set free. And the guard saw that this wasn't going to go well for him. The trial became so big that he wanted to kill himself. because if Paul got loose, they would kill the guard. And he says, do thyself no harm. And that's a real caution today. I put before you today the blessing of getting the manna to be the beautiful bride that comes down. But I also put before you today a warning. Do thyself no harm. Because your choice to go the right way and fully love means that you're going to have to put aside some things in your life, in your lives. Some things that are other loves that will definitely get in the way. And if you love those things, you will do yourself harm. You'll do yourself harm. And sometimes, you know, of course God forgives, but we still live with consequences. So I leave those two things before you today. The blessing, and also, you know, the dilemma that sometimes we get ourselves into. But you have the power to become the bride of Christ. It's an exciting thing. Amen? You could be the glorious bride who makes herself ready. And I challenge you today, don't let the sun go down until you have collected, maybe in this message this morning, maybe not, maybe you got nothing, but don't go to bed tonight. Like David said, I'll not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to myself until I find out a habitation for the Lord my God. If you are the house of God today, and there's a blueprint, just like a floor plan, how many of the rooms will we find Jesus in? Does he occupy the whole place? Or is he just in some little area? Okay? Doesn't matter. Whatever your answer is, just be honest, truthful, and get it cleaned up and make room for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Should I pray now or is there a song? Pray now? Okay. All right. Father God, we so thank you that you give us such clear pictures in Scripture. It's awesome. And you connect it from beginning to end because your plan has never changed to give us manna from heaven because that's where our eyes are set, on heaven. And when you said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's our portion today, to bring heaven down because you have brought manna, Jesus Christ, to us. Cause us to embrace this beautiful truth and feed desperately every day because we want to be so close to you in relationship. Yeah, glorious city, don't quite get that. I mean, that's cool and all, but our hearts are set on intimacy with you. Sweet fellowship. Because the one thing we want above all other things is to know that we are loved. And only you can minister that to the very depths of our soul and spirit. We thank you and praise you and expect today that each of us will get that manna. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen.